and the baptisms of these five individuals that you have saved, that you have called to yourself, and who belong to your family. We give thanks to you for Jeff and Katie, for Melina, Brita, and Andrea, and we pray for them now, Lord, that you would help them as they profess their faith in Christ before us, before you, and as they devote their lives to represent Christ as a faithful disciple, to trust what you say, to live out their faith day by day in obedience, to go where you call them to go, to do what you call them to do, to be your representatives here until you come. So may the name of Christ Jesus be glorified here this morning. We pray this all in his name. Amen. So we have a special service this morning, and we also have another special service in a couple of weeks on June 28th as well. I have a few more that are scheduled to be baptized on June 28th, and so that means that there is still time for you, if you would like to profess your faith in Christ before this church family and be baptized, but you must act soon. Talk to me today after the service is done, and I'd be happy to meet with you and to get you prepared, Lord, to be baptized on that Sunday, June 28th. I just wanted to give a few words about what we're going to be doing and Christian baptism in general. The first thing you ought to know about Christian baptism is that the Lord Jesus ordained it for his people, for his church. He established it, and he himself identified with his church by being baptized as well. I'm going to read for you from Matthew 28 and verse 19. So here is what's known as the Great Commission. Jesus is about to be brought up into heaven, to ascend to heaven, to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he gives these final instructions to his disciples, his final instructions at least in the flesh. And this is what he tells them in Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," that is, baptizing the disciples, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus commands his disciples here, the apostles, to go out, to start this movement, to go out and to be baptizing believers into the faith in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they are to proclaim the good news, teach about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's commanded, and call people to follow him. And the first step of that following Jesus is to be baptized and baptized into his name. So Jesus here ordains it, and since then, baptism has been happening. Since then, disciples who have come to faith in Jesus have been baptized. The apostles obeyed their Lord here. And so from the very beginning, the church has been baptizing believers. And we see that in Acts chapter 2. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2, just a couple of verses here. Acts 2, beginning with verse 37. So this comes on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon his apostles and the other believers in Jerusalem, empowering them to proclaim the gospel and to make disciples. And so Peter stands up and begins to proclaim the gospel, which Luke records for us in Acts. And then verse 37 is what happens after. So he's proclaimed the gospel that Jesus Christ, the one whom was just crucified in Jerusalem, who many who were hearing Peter's message were a part of, They then respond in this way to Peter's message. Verse 37, now when they heard this, that is the gospel Peter proclaimed, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? How should we respond? If Jesus, the one who was crucified, if he is Lord, if he is the Christ, the Messiah, what should we do about that? How should we respond to this message? And in verse 38, it says, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the response to the message of the gospel, the response of sinners like us to realizing that we are under the condemnation of God for our sin, and that God has sent his Son into the world to deliver us from that condemnation, and his Son then was crucified after living the perfectly righteous life. He was crucified. He laid down his own life on the cross and suffered God's wrath in our place, suffered God's condemnation for our sin in our place, and then was raised again from the dead, and now has ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand. The response that we are to have to that good news is to repent, that is to acknowledge our sin, turn away from it, and then grasp hold of what Jesus Christ has won for us. Forgiveness, righteousness, being welcomed into God's presence as one of his own, and following Jesus, turning away from this world, turning away from the God of this world, and following Jesus. Repent. And, the next thing, be baptized. Be baptized into the name of Jesus. Identify yourself with Jesus. Show the world, show your families, show your friends that you belong to Jesus Christ. That is what we are called to do. That's what the Christians have done since the very beginning. But who are the ones who are to be baptized? Well, look down at verse 41 of chapter 2 of Acts again, and it says there, so those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Those who received that word, received the gospel, who believed it, who took steps to follow it, those are the ones who are baptized. Not everyone received the word that day, but those who did receive the word were baptized. So believers of the gospel are the ones who are to be baptized. Now, as you heard or read in our statement of faith a little bit earlier, baptism is not something that you go through, something that you do to be saved, to make yourself right with God. No, it's not a saving ordinance. It is rather an outward display of an inward reality. It is something that you go through to display for others that you have experienced salvation, that you have experienced regeneration in Christ. It is an outward display of an inward reality, the inward reality of a life transformed by the gospel. It is, as one pastor put it, it is truth that we can touch. It's an outward, physical, dramatic display of the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or as our statement of faith put it, something that visibly and tangibly expresses the gospel. That is what baptism is. So what we're about to do here is we're going to hear the testimonies of faith from our baptismal candidates right here. And they'll do that in response to a few questions that I will ask of them. Everyone gets the same question, so you'll hear the same questions over and over again, just to give you a heads up about that. But they'll be sharing their professions of faith in Jesus Christ with you. And then after all five of them are done saying their professions of faith, I will ask them certain questions about their decision to be baptized. And then, once they're all done with that, we will go outside, and our baptismal font is right outside the front door of our church. So you'll all follow us out there. You'll gather around that baptismal font, and we will then witness their baptisms. So that's what's about to happen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each of these candidates, and then I'll invite them to come forward here. First, Jeff and Katie Duda. First met them about a year ago. And all of you probably met them around then as well. Last summer, they showed up at our church and began to attend regularly, and since then have been a great big encouragement to me and probably to many of you as well, as we've witnessed them grow in the Lord, grow in their love for Jesus, their love for his word, and then their love for the church and its people. So I'm very encouraged that Jeff and Katie will be baptized this morning. And then we have the three sisters here, Melina, Brita, and Andrea Frericks, who will also be baptized this morning. And I've known them for a long time. I've had them in youth group all their high school years. I've gone with them to Colorado and hiked in the Rocky Mountains with them. I've gone on whitewater rafting trips with them. I think they've each babysat Betty in our house as well. And so I love seeing them now come to know and to truly love the Lord Jesus and to walk with Christ. And so I'm very encouraged as well to have them be baptized this morning along with Jeff and Katie. So Jeff and Katie, I'm going to invite you forward here. And if you would stand over there and have you give your profession of faith. So we'll start with Jeff. Jeff, if you would describe how you came to know about your need for Christ and for his salvation.
In a time of great anxiety and distress the last about 3 weeks, I didn't know what to do. I had known of God my whole life, been to church maybe 5 times. I've even read some of the Bible, but in this moment I knew that I could no longer do it on my own. I started to pray. I reached for a Bible that my wife's grandfather had given me. I prayed and read, prayed and read. After 3 weeks, sitting in a deep, deep, dark place, I felt a pop in my head, a physical pop, one that I knew immediately what had happened. During this time of trouble, the world had lost its color. The joy was gone, and I was struggling to even fake a smile. But immediately, it felt like somebody had pulled me out of the water from drowning. I opened my Bible and I tried to read it once again. This time, I started to understand. It's like the Bible was rewritten. I felt the presence of God. I felt new. And all of this happened after letting God know what he already knew. I cannot do this on my own. I asked him into my life and promised my life to him. I spent so long running from him. But the moment I cried out for my father, he was there to pick me up. My life living apart from him was just that, apart from him. God hates sin, and I was in sin. The sin I was in was building a wall. Every utterance of foul language, every lie, every bit of deceit was adding a brick. While standing on the other side of that wall, I may have known about God, but was blocked from his presence. There was only one way that would lead back to him. No good deed I could do or wrong that I could right would ever do so. It would only be by God's grace alone, through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, that the wall would come down. Only one could tear the veil that was separating me from God. The good news is that just as in 1 Timothy 15, it says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And he did just that. No matter where you are or what you have done, Jesus Christ was born of a miraculous birth, lived a sinless life that we could not live, and was a propitiation for our sin by dying the death that was meant for us. It is more than words on a page. It is a relationship that cannot be put into words. And I've always felt something was missing. But I didn't know it was someone, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was always there, drawing me near, And as C.S. Lewis once said while having a conversation with a friend who felt the pull to dig into God's word, if God is after you, I doubt you will escape. I'm so glad I did not.
Now, Jeff, why do you want to be identified with Jesus Christ and his people?
Today, my relationship with Christ is just that. It's a relationship. He's not someone far off that I pray to. He's not someone that I follow his rules because I'm scared. He is someone that I want to make proud. I cannot do anything to raise my stance in his eyes. Instead, I bear fruit because of him. So I will continue to walk with Christ every minute of every day. I follow Christ because he leads to everlasting life. I follow Christ because he leads me away from sin. I follow Christ because he loves me. The moment I surrendered my life to Christ, I felt the change. I immediately stopped cussing. Well, this may not be everyone's experience. It was something he knew that I couldn't handle myself. It was not that I had to try to cuss less or that the words were still there or I just repressed them. He removed them from my heart. I follow Christ because even though my sins are what pinned him to the cross, he went there so that I may live in him.
Jeff, what verse or passage in God's word have been particularly helpful to you and meaningful to you as you followed Christ?
John 3:30, he must become greater, I must become less. And John 17:24, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world.
And is there anything that you would like to share with your church family at this time?
Yeah. Growing up, I had a little bit different perspective on family. Family was riddled with abuse and addiction and lies and deceit and jail and other works of the evil one. But coming to this church, I learned fast what family was supposed to look like. In Mark 2:1-12, there's a story of a paralyzed man whom his friends that if they could only get him in front of Jesus, they knew that he would be healed. They then carried him up to the rooftop. They cut a hole in and lowered him on a mat. He is healed. He was healed. This church community is a community of mat carriers. The ones who I know that if I need, they would band together and drag me to the Lord. So many of you had an impact on me, from the pastor and his amazing family inviting us into their home for a meal, to the pastor answering a million questions, to small group Bible studies on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, even down to the conversations in the lobby before service starts and after, even the texts and conversations with a couple of you during the week. You are more than just acquaintances. You are family. You are those that I know and surround myself with, that if I do, I will always be going up towards Christ. You are my mat carriers, and you have no idea how much that means to me.
Praise God. Now, Jeff, if I'd ask you these affirmations of faith in Christ and your baptismal affirmations here, what is your confession of faith?
I believe with all my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my strength that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, my ultimate authority, and the Savior of my soul.
Do you trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all his promises to you, even eternal life?
Yes.
Jeff, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his ways?
Yes.
Jeff, do you intend, with God's help, to obey Jesus' word and to follow him as your Lord all the days of your life?
Yes.
Thank you. And now we'll have Katie. Katie, would you describe how you came to know about your need for Christ and his salvation?
I grew up in Columbus and attended the Free Church there. As I attended Sunday school, I learned about God. Over time, as I got into my teenage years, I grew apart from him. I fell away and did not look to God. My sin had separated me from God, and my focus was on myself. Sin had blinded me, thinking I didn't need to change, and made my heart bitter. Later on into my adult years, I felt God pulling me back to him. One day, I decided to listen and prayed that he would lead me and my husband to church. Not long after I prayed, God answered. He guided us to Stanton Church, and we have attended for almost a year now. God totally changed my heart and made me a new person. He never gave up on me, and now I have a relationship with him today. I know that Jesus is the only Savior from my sin and for peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And Katie, why do you want to be identified with Jesus Christ and his people?
I want to be identified with God and his people because I have put my faith in him and because I belong to him. He changed my heart, and I am so thankful. I continue to grow through prayer, reading God's word, and trusting him daily.
What verse or passage in God's word has been particularly meaningful to you as you have followed Christ?
I love Psalm 91, verses 2 and 4. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. In verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart.
Is there anything that you would like to share with your church family at this time?
Thank you, everyone at this church, for being so welcoming. You all have encouraged me to grow in my relationship with God.
And now for your baptismal affirmations. What is your confession of faith?
I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, who died for my sins and rose again.
And do you trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all his promises to you, even eternal life?
Yes.
And do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his ways?
Yes.
And Katie, do you intend with God's help to obey Jesus' word and to follow him as your Lord all the days of your life?
Yes.
Thank you, Katie. Jeff, you may have a seat. Melina, if you'd come forward, please. Melina Frericks, describe how you came to know about your need for Christ and his salvation.
I grew up in a Christian home, knowing right from wrong, but not really understanding why. I was very stubborn and rebellious, and from the public eye, I looked like a good kid, well-behaved and all that. But that is not what was in my heart. When I was in junior high and went to Bible camp for the first time, I enjoyed it, but was, for the most part, secluded and stayed to myself a lot. But I would go to chapel and do devotions and start paying, and then I started paying more attention to the speakers and what they were saying. A couple years later, when I was 14 or 15, at the same camp, I was laying in my bunk one night thinking about my life and pondering the messages that was given that night and just remembering all of the things God had orchestrated in my life to bring me to that point. And that's when everything clicked. Before that, I knew God existed. I had no doubt about that. And knew that Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world, but I had never made it personal before. But that night, I realized something. I realized that I had sinned against God my whole life, and that it was only by his mercy and his grace that I could be forgiven. I saw immediate changes after that. I was more respectful to my parents and others, and my temper was better. Over the past couple years, I have come to more realize just how merciful God has been in my life, and how it was absolutely nothing that I did to save me, but only through the grace of God that I am welcomed into his kingdom.
Melina, why do you want to be identified with Jesus Christ and his people?
Because God in his grace saved me, so I want to live for him. I am nothing and am nothing and have nothing apart from him, and I've realized that nothing I can do can ever separate me from the love of God.
And what verse or passage in God's word has been particularly meaningful to you as you have followed the Lord?
I have three of them. Matthew 10, 29 and 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Hosea 6:3. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth.
And is there anything that you would like to share with your church family at this time?
I would just like to thank you all for praying for me and for genuinely caring for me throughout the years and giving me examples of faithfulness that you have shown towards the Lord that I could follow.
Now for your affirmations. What is your confession of faith?
I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he alone is my Lord and my Savior.
Melina, do you trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all his promises to you, even eternal life?
Yes, I do.
Melina, do you renounce Satan in all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I do.
And do you intend, with God's help, to obey Jesus' word and to follow him as your Lord all the days of your life?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Melina. And Brita? Brita, describe how you came to know about your need for Christ and his salvation.
I grew up going to this church and hearing about the gospel basically every week. I prayed the prayer to be saved because that's what I thought I needed to do. But that prayer seemed like it would eventually wear off, so I'd have to pray another prayer to make sure. That cycle went on for a while, and none of those prayers were genuine. I didn't understand that I was dead in my sin and that Jesus was the only thing that could solve my sin problem. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It wasn't until I was about 14 when it finally clicked that I personally needed a Savior, and that just because my parents knew the Lord, it didn't mean that I knew him. At the time, I was dealing with a lot of fear that fed into every part of my life. One night, the weight of the world was on my shoulders, and I knew that there was only one thing that could save my life and put an end to my sin, fear, and shame. So I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save my life. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was the only thing that could save me and bring me into a relationship with God. After I asked Jesus to save my life, I felt in that moment a weight lift off my shoulders and my life was changed. That started a personal relationship with God, and I didn't just have the head knowledge. I knew Jesus in my heart. Because head knowledge doesn't save. It's what's in your heart that matters. Physical changes weren't immediate, and I didn't fully know what I was getting myself into, but I did know that Jesus saved me. I am far from perfect, but God has been working in me through church, camp, and my personal time with him. He has changed my heart and continues to grow me in him daily.
Rita, why do you want to be identified with Jesus Christ and his people?
I want to be identified with Christ because he created me, loves me, and wants me. He died on the cross for my sins and has saved my soul from hell, and I want to serve him and give him glory with my life.
What verse or passage in God's word has been particularly meaningful to you as you followed Christ?
Amos 5:14, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you." And Matthew 6:25-34, but especially verse 34. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble."
And now, is there anything that you would like to share with your church family?
I would like to thank everyone who has prayed for me and encouraged me over the years. It truly is a blessing. I want to thank my parents for raising me to love the Lord, and I would like to thank my camp community. You are a huge encouragement to me. I also ask for your continued prayers for me as I walk with the Lord in this dark world.
Now for your affirmations, Brita. What is your confession of faith?
I believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God and is my only hope and Savior.
And do you trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all of his promises to you, even eternal life?
Yes, I do.
And do you renounce Satan in all his works and all his ways?
Yes.
And do you intend, with God's help, to obey Jesus' word and to follow him as your Lord all the days of your life? Thank you, Brita. All right, Andrea Ferrix, describe now for us how you came to know about your need for Christ and his salvation.
Okay, I grew up in this church, and I grew up in a family where I heard the gospel. I was taught all about the Bible. And I knew all the answers. I could say verse after verse that I had memorized during Awana. I was known as a good kid, and by all accounts, I was. But there was a side of me that no one really saw. Behind closed doors, I was mean to my siblings. I had attitude problems. And I would steal things from my siblings. Mostly candy, but the object is not important. The fact was that they weren't mine, and it was wrong. Deep down, I knew that what I was doing was wrong, but I did nothing to stop my behavior. I was not sure when exactly my heart changed, but I knew that it began around the age of 11. When I was 11, my grandma unexpectedly died. This was a time where I was searching. I had so many questions, specifically about death and what would happen to me when I died. But I was too scared to ask them, so I kept them to myself, which probably was a bad idea. It left me alone, trying to wrestle through those questions by myself. I spent many sleepless nights crying out to God, sometimes crying myself to sleep. I felt the evilness of my actions, and I was so disgusted, but I didn't know how to change. I thought that I would never be able to get out of this endless cycle of sin that I had been caught in. One big influence that helped me to answer my questions was Camp Assurance. I had been going as a camper for about 5 years when I was asked to serve as staff. At that time, I was 14 and I jumped at the chance. Honestly, I don't think that at that time I was saved, but being there, seeing the community, being a part of that community threw me over the edge, so to speak. I knew that I wanted to be a part of this. All of my past experiences, all that I had heard about Jesus, all the verses I had memorized all my life had accumulated over the years, and I finally saw my need for Jesus to be my Savior. I don't remember a specific time that I trusted Jesus to be my Savior, but I knew that I had changed. I remember specifically that when my grandpa also unexpectedly died, I didn't have so many questions and had an overwhelming sense of peace. I knew that was the kind of peace that could only stem from the fact that I now had Jesus. Over the past few years, I have discovered in myself a desire to serve Christ with my whole heart. I know that I am not perfect, and I never will be, but I know that God can still use me, and I want to be willing to be used by Him.
Why do you want to be identified with Jesus Christ and His people?
I want to be identified with Christ because He gave up everything for me, and I want to give myself to Him. I want everyone to know that I am not ashamed of having my name associated with the name of Christ.
Andrew, what passage in God's Word has been particularly meaningful to you as you've followed Christ?
Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. This verse has been particularly meaningful to me because it reminds me of what Christ has done for me.
Praise God. And now, is there anything you would like to share with your church family?
I would like to thank all of you for taking the time to pray for me as I have grown up. You have encouraged me, challenged me, and exhorted me. I treasure each one of the friendships that I have forged while I have been here. I know that God has placed you all in my life for a purpose. Today, I'm proclaiming to you that I am a part of the body of Christ, and I'm asking all of you to walk alongside me. I want you to keep me accountable, encourage me, and pray for me. Your support means a lot.
Now for your affirmations. What's your confession of faith?
I believe Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. He is my Savior and my Lord. And for all of you camp people out there, He is my one thing.
Andrew, do you trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all of His promises to you, even eternal life?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his ways?
Yes.
And do you intend, with God's help, to obey Jesus' word and to follow Him as your Lord all the days of your life?
Yes, I do.
All right, praise God. So now we're going to exit the sanctuary and head out to the baptismal, and we'll get the baptisms done.